Lord, draw us into your presence. And in the presence of the light and the perfection and the truth and all the things that you are, Lord, expose to us those areas of our lives of compromise, of wickedness, of wrong choices, of continued frustration, fear, bitterness, hurt, whatever we accumulate inside ourselves. Expose it to the light of your love. Expose it to the light of your kindness. Expose it to the healing light of your truth. And bring us, Lord, to a point of sincere repentance tonight. Bring us, Lord, to step before you and acknowledge you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we are sinners in need of your salvation. And we are sinners, Lord, in need of dealing honestly with the sin in our lives. So come and bless each one of us. Fill us with your grace and hope. And speak forgiveness to each and every area of our life. We pray this all in your name, Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Couple of lessons up there. I alluded to the one in Revelation already, so we're going to start up there with the 1 Corinthians 15 one. If you would turn there, it's all just two quick verses. You'll notice the consistency in them as we come along in it, so here we go. First one is 1 Corinthians 15, 56 and 57. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The second lesson I would like to read to you tonight comes out of John 16, and again, just two verses. John 16, verses 32 and 33. Jesus responds, I'll read 31. You believe at last, Jesus answered. But a time is coming and has come when you will be scattered, and each of you to his own home. You will leave me all alone. Yes, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. That's the end of the reading. Children, can invite you to come on down if you would. And I need a mom. Good. I need a mom. And I need two wicked men. Here you go, Mom. All right. Now, let's face this way. Perfect. You're on either side. Either side. Don't be merciful. Grab it right here. Don't be merciful. Be ruthless. All right. Look ferocious. We're going to play a game that you don't know all the rules yet. And the object is you've got to follow her through the path of these hungry individuals who want to eat children. All right? But the rule that you have to keep hanging on to her, obviously. But you got to understand, if you don't and they grab you, you've got to stop. As soon as they touch you and say, you're out, you got to go stand to the side. Okay? And no candy. The ultimate torture, I know. I know. So, you ready? Get up here. Come on, get up here. Come on, you too. You want to come too? Yes. All right. Oh, perfect. Ready? You got to get to me. Nice and slow, Mom. Here we go. Bring them through. Ruthless, guys. Ruthless. Grab them. You're grabbed. You're all grabbed. Oh, look at you guys get to sit right here with Mom. You get to sit right there.
Ah, too bad, so sad.
What rule did I make that you weren't paying attention to? How come they got through and you didn't? Yes. You are not holding on to her. Now, you have to understand, when you let go or you don't hold on, you're getting away from her, aren't you? And that's what I'm going to be talking about in my sermon. You guys get to sit down. You guys get to sit over in the no candy section. Yep, no candy section. You kids! Here's what God's going to try and say to the big people. He's going to try and tell them that if you stay close to God, like I told you to stay close to her, the mom, then you make it. If you don't hang on and stay close to God, or in this little story, the mom, what happens? They come out and grab you, and you don't get what God wants to give you, which in my little game is a piece of candy, right? So one of the things that I want to make sure the big people understand is that we just played a game, and it was really more for fun than anything else. But in real life, if your mom and dad or me or you don't stay close to God, who's going to be out there trying to grab you and take you away? Yes. And that's part of the story that we're going to be reading about today. God says, I've overcome, I've stepped on Satan, he can't hurt you a bit. But if you walk away or you think you can make it on your own, you're going to get grabbed. And it's not going to turn out well for you, okay? So you get to sit there. You guys, two pieces. Here, I'll come down to that side. Mom will oversee it. They all get two pieces, Mom. And I don't think there'll be any left for the bad kids. And oh, won't it be horrible for those people on that day? Oh, well, that was sweet. But you're going to be able to go. I'm nicer. Did you say thank you? Uh-huh. You each get one piece. In one hand and one piece in the other hand. Except you have one piece already.
I need another one.
You have another one. The elders enjoyed too much being wicked. Use terms like ogres and other things like that. Jeff said, when we grab them, we just give them to their parents. We're grandparents. When they get out of hand, we give them back to their parents. Oh, I understand that. Did you know if there was no good, you wouldn't be able to have bad? The very nature of saying something is good, The very nature of saying something is bad means there must be an establishment of that which is good. I heard one guy explain it. He said, if you just believe in the material world, there is no such thing as good or bad, because a lion, when it kills a baby zebra or anything else, it's just getting lunch. And it does not think about being good or bad, right or wrong. It has to eat. And it kills the baby zebra or the giraffe or anything else that the lion kills or does anything. But in a purely material world, there can't be good or evil, because it's just a material world. Some people think the world is only spiritual. And if you only have a spiritual world, good and evil can't exist either. Because within the framework of a spiritual world, nothing is actually real. It's all in your head. Therefore, if it's just in your head, it makes zero difference. And those are the kind of conversations you can walk down getting in on some of this stuff. I don't really want to go too far with it, but I want you to understand the significance. When you start talking about you can't have good, you can't have evil if you don't have good, good is really the moving away or the walking away or the digression, the squirrel moment, from where God wants you to be. That becomes that evil characteristic. So something as simple as not hanging on to the mother, which they were instructed to do with a little bit of a slide over by my words, but they were instructed to do, and more than half of them figured it out, they were not ready to follow through on it because either apparently I didn't emphasize it enough or whatever. I could have had them go through it again, and that second time they would have probably have done it more consciously and hung on more diligently. Now, in one sense, our text for tonight is this. I have defeated the world, and if you stay close to me and I hang on to you, a little bit of a reversal there, and I am able to hang on to you, nothing can pluck you from my hand. The devil is already defeated. If you notice you are not feeling secure, it's probably because you let go of mom. One of the forces out there trying to destroy you, the devil, the world, your flesh, whatever you want to identify, is out there yanking you from the reward, from the things that you're trying to get, and you're being taken away from the point of security and blessing because you are not doing and fulfilling what God has asked you to do. Stay close to me. Hang on. Touch me. And I will be able to take care of you because I have overcome the world. And so now you start to hear those little bitty texts I was reading to you and some of the significance of them, all right? And it goes on, that first one in Corinthians says, we have the sharp point of death, which is sin, and the power of sin is the law, and then 57 there. But God's gracious, he is the one giving us the victory. There's that phrasing, giving us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. So the story, in one sense, is about mom being the rescuer, the preserver of the good treat in my little children's sermon. Mom is the one that is going to carry them through the middle, and they have that responsibility to stay close, hang on to her touch, and keep that closeness there, because that's the way that they receive the blessings of her presence, or God's presence in the illustration, as I start to apply it to my text here. Please notice, one of the points I'm going to make tonight is that the goodness of God is Jesus Christ. If you have any goodness in your life, it flows in and with and through Jesus Christ. And that's why when I grabbed this first one, 1 Corinthians says, we have been given the victory through the mechanism, through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the concept. I have this victory. I am assured I will make it to my reward, obviously, something more than a piece of candy. And I will get that by remaining close to the Lord Jesus, faithful in his word, however you want to translate it in your own mind so you start to understand the significance of your remaining close to Christ and the seriousness of those trying to rip you away, tear you away from a relationship with Jesus. Because that becomes, the goodness of God is available to you all the time, as it points out. And when you start to understand, even in your suffering, God is good. Even in the middle of your difficulty, God is good. The trouble is, we sometimes think, we got to get through it and get to the end before the goodness of God is there. We forget the very lessons that we're trying to understand. The goodness of Job was being exercised even in the difficulties and the suffering that Job experienced. Because God is good all the time. Not only was Job suffering for his sake, he was suffering for your sake. He was suffering so Bruce and you and others would know about the goodness of God and that he can work as easily through the loss of a child, through the loss of a difficult situation, through a point of suffering, as he can work through anything else that you want to name. And the goodness of God continues to manifest. I don't think it's good. If I really had to hang on to or touch the mom the whole time, I may actually want to run off and see if I can make it on my own, just like you saw the kids trying to do. Or some of the other kids said, I don't need to do that. I can make it. I'll just stay, you know, fairly close and I'll walk and be safe. And for whatever went through their own heads and hearts, you and I begin to understand how this begins to work. And so the challenge now, as we start to pick these things up, we start to recognize these very important thoughts. One of the other things in John 16, it says, look, the hour is coming and has already come when you will be scattered, each of you, into his own place, his own spot. You will leave me, said Jesus, all alone, and I am absolutely not alone because the Father is with me. Now, you have to understand what he's addressing. When do they leave? When Judas betrays him, they run and leave him in the garden. He's all alone. When they whip him, he's all alone. When they take him to Golgotha, he's all alone. When they nail him to the cross, he is all alone. And here's Jesus looking at you saying, no, I'm not. He's trying to help you understand a concept that's extremely difficult. The concept is that my Father is with me. I am where I need to be, and he is going with me through this particular time in this particular moment. And you start to understand he's talking to his disciples. Now, I didn't tell you, these are the last words of Jesus to his disciples, basically, except for the words on the cross and whatever he said to them in Gethsemane. This is the high priestly conversation just before the prayer that Jesus closes with, and then they all go to the Mount of Olives to basically sleep, and he prays there, and the guards come, and they take him away. Excuse me. Let me get a little bit of a cough drop. So here's the situation. In the middle of what people think is God going to be all alone, God simply, in Jesus, he says, I am not alone. My Father is with me. Now, the challenge, of course, is that I got to take it from the children's sermon level, where people who actually love the kids are playing the ogre or the wicked person, snatching those children away and carry them to places where God doesn't want them to be. And instead, I have to recognize that in the difficult situations of my life, the circumstances that are, at least at this point, not as serious as what Jesus was dealing with the threat and the beating and the suffering and the cross and the crucifixion and other things that he was going through, I have to understand Jesus is actually caring about his disciples. And he's pointing out to them this reality that they need to be aware of. And he goes, I have told you these things. This is verse 33 of John 16. I have told you these things in order that, now watch the phrasing here, in me you may hold or hold on to peace. You understand? In the game I played with the children, as long as their hand stayed on mom somewhere and they didn't break that closeness, they were guarded and protected. The guys on the outside knew the rules. The inside heard some of the rules and didn't always pay attention to them. But you have to understand, Jesus is saying, I want you to have my peace, but he points it out that you may have this peace in the world you live in. Okay? And that you will possess it because in this world now, you're going to have tribulation, pressure, anxiety. You can't walk in that. You're not invited to walk into that. It's like walking here with your hand off the Lord, wondering why everything is out there pulling, tugging, and ripping at you. It's when you look at the world and God whispered to you, I told you it was going to go the way it's going. I'm sorry you have to see it, but I have not given you permission to be anxious about it. Instead, I've instead commanded you, do not worry about it. I have set in front of you these very things, and I've told you so you might have peace in the world, because in this world you're going to have tribulation. That's the reality. A Job's life, a suffering of various things, that's what you're going to have. Then he finishes the thought, but take heart or have courage, be bold, I have overcome the world. She was going to make it through. She was going to bring every child with her. The ones who did not listen carefully were going to be taken, pulled away. Ideally, if I'd have been more nasty, not getting a piece of candy. But the illustration ultimately is, in real life, the ones who are pulled away, the children who do not listen, those who don't stay close to the mother, the father, and those that love them and are carrying them through the difficulties of the world, or we as adults being God's children, and God's invitation as he speaks it to us is this: if you are close to me, you will make it through the world. I'm going to give you peace. I am your peace. That's where it rests. You keep thinking like somehow if you do one more act or action, then you'll have that or it will come to you. And instead, God keeps telling you, I've overcome the world. And then you go into Revelation, the one I read to you before in 12, Revelation 12. He was accusing the brethren day and night before the Lord, and he was thrown down. And then verse 11, it goes, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, touching, I'll use that as my little example, the word of their testimony, you have no power over me. I never let go. I never stopped touching, staying close to Jesus Christ. I think I shared that with you. When my mom was, I think she died three times on the recovery table. They had to revive her. And she would tell us about what she was visioning when that was happening to her. And she said there was within her dream, vision, whatever you want to say, her life, real experience, was that she was feeling like Satan was trying to pull her away. And you know what mom said? She said, I just shouted him. I said, I belong to Jesus. You leave me alone. You can know my mom, right? Yeah, and he let go. So, but the idea was, that's the step. That's the shout. That's the shout out. I have my hand. I am where I'm supposed to be. You have no power or authority over me. Whether it's tribulation, whether it's anxiety, whatever it is that you're dealing with. So it goes, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, leave me alone, I belong to Jesus Christ. And finally, their willingness to follow no matter what. It says there in Scripture, their willingness to face death. They did not value their life so much as to be afraid to die with the Lord. When you're being led down a little path and a little game the pastor is playing for a children's sermon, and you think you can zip around the altar or you can get away with it, you begin to understand, I've set it up in such a way that you're going to lose. Because God is not trying to make you lose. He's trying to say the louder thing to you, you have got to understand, I have come to bring you peace. Don't think you're going to get it whether the war over there in Europe goes on or ends. Don't think you're going to get it from a new president. Don't think you're going to get it for $2.50 or 20 cents a gasoline. It's not going to bring you the kind of peace, as Jesus said in just a few verses and chapters earlier, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, I give to you. It's a totally different kind of existence and peace. It creates within you an authoritative, leave me alone, I belong to Jesus Christ. It also reassures you because you're doing what the leader or God or the pastor told you to do. Keep a hand on mom. And you're assured because the pastor, or in our case as adults, God, has been good that he will carry us through to the fruition, to that completion point where I will receive what God has promised me. What it takes for me to get from here to there is that faithfulness, that willingness to follow God, touch mom at whatever cost or expense. I could set up in a longer illustration, but you got enough of it to understand in every situation of your life, you are being called to a level of faithfulness to God, a level of trust, a level that destroys fear, a level that expresses hope, a level that carries you at a totally different point where you begin to understand that you overcome. You win. The battle is yours. Jesus Christ said, I have come to bring you peace. I have come to do those very things that you and I have to continue to understand is going on. All right? And again, in that John 57, it goes, the one giving us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you start to put these three sections together and you start to hear it's exactly the same message. The victory is not yours, but you get to be carried in it. All right? It's almost as though, I don't know if you've ever seen some of these movies or football games or something, or every once in a while when the kids are little, have you ever reached down and grabbed your kid? Instead of tucking the football under the arm, your kid's hanging onto the football, and you run so fast that you get a touchdown, you set them down, you go, you did a touchdown, way to go. Well, you and I can smile and chuckle, but it's exactly what God is saying to you. Let me tuck you under my arm. I've come to bring you peace. I'm going to take you to the goal line. You are going to have the winning victory because in me you win. And you and I have to learn that lesson because he repeats it. And he wouldn't repeat it if his people would listen to it. It's something like a parent or anyone else. I told you don't let go of my hand. One of the rules we used to have sometimes when we had four kids and I would have to walk them through the women's section while the women shop. And that leaves you four kids to try and keep somewhat corralled in the store. I can still remember those days. One of the rules every once in a while would be, put your hand on the cart and don't let go. If you let go, I'm putting you in the cart. I don't care how big you are or how crowded it gets. Oh, Dad. No, you're in the cart. You let go. But it was just for a minute. You let go. Walk them around for 5 minutes and you say, you're ready to try again? You're going to keep your hand on the cart? And I go, ultimately, it's for a good purpose. I mean, realistically, I was preserving them, watching them, keeping them safe, even though in some ways it restricted their movement, like a little child, a normal little child. But I want to run through the clothes. I want to go hide inside those circular things so no one can find me. I know what fun is in the store. You're taking all my fun away. You are a spoiler, God. Leave me alone. I have one rule. Touch the mom. You're not going to make it. One rule. Hand on the cart. You're not going to make it. And you begin to understand, what's the problem? My immaturity, my stubbornness, my arrogance, my ignorance, my whatever you want to say, I have a better plan. What God said, what is good, and I got the Harmon plan. God said, don't eat of the tree, and the Adam and Eve plan went into effect. And you begin to understand, God said, this is how I tell you to live and act and behave with those you struggle with and those who are suffering around you and those who are falling away. This is what I told you to do, but you've got your plan. And you put your name there, and at that point, the goodness of God, which is still there, which is still trying to accomplish what God is trying to accomplish all the time, but you are fighting it with an attitude, an evil, a separation. I have my own plan. And I believe my plan is more successful than yours. And I believe I don't have to touch the mom. And it's as simple and as complicated as you can possibly be, because that's what's going on in this section. One of the things that one of the pastors shared in some of the stuff I was listening to, he says, you know, evil is temporary. But goodness is eternal. I thought that was interesting. Another fun one. We are all one heartbeat away from eternity. Don't forget it. Don't take your hand off the cart. You have no idea. I've watched some of those movies or examples of how little kids get taken away in a store, and all of a sudden, someone's just on the other side of the clothes rack. Your child thinks they're cute, running away, and someone takes them by the hand, and they're gone. You're one heartbeat away from being gone. There are forces out there attempting to destroy you. And you begin to understand, as God continues to point these things out, God is good all the time, every day. Don't let go of the cart. Is God being good the same way I, as a father, needed the kids to cooperate, follow along, so I could keep track of them in a busy store and wouldn't have one going off in one direction and another in another direction? So that became the challenge or the difficulty. Sometimes we take two carts. You ever do that too? And then one kid, two kids, they put a third kid in. Finally, you got to load the second cart up and you got to move the clothes around. But those are the things that God does. It's as simple as being a quality parent. It's as complicated as being an obedient child. And yet there's that side of us that so much wants to choose the opposite of God's goodness. And in that moment, we waste the all-the-time goodness of God that he extends to you and me. God invites us, keep your hand on the cart, keep your hand on the mom. And those are the kind of things that we need to keep in mind. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the gift of parents who care about their kids. Thank you for the simplicity of your word and yet the deep truth of your word, causing us to understand that our victory has been won for us, that our safety is secure as long as we stay close to you. And in that victory, Lord, you've invited us to walk and stay in order to experience the reward and blessing of all the things that you have planned for us in this life as well as in the next. So come, Lord, and help us to learn like a little child, to hang on, to stay close, to touch, to be faithful, and in all things, Lord, grow in that faithfulness to you. Father, tonight we pray for brothers and sisters and others who are hurting, and ask in your grace, Lord, that you would minister to each of us. Pray this in your name. Amen.